Y'all ready to learn some stuff this morning? All right, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read out of a passage in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And if you remember back in January, as we started the year, we have a theme called Growing Stronger this year, 2015, Growing Stronger. And I'm using Hebrews chapter 13 as my grid to what I will be preaching throughout this year. And so I want to read just the one part, the first part of verse 9 in Hebrews 13. It says, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings." Read that one more time. "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we can come and hear you. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you'd open up our minds, that you'd give us a mind to believe, a heart to receive, and a will to obey you today. Help us, Father, hear your voice, for we know that you do speak. Help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated as we get into this new series this for the next few weeks. It's titled, Know the Faith. Know the Faith. So look at your neighbor and say, you've got to know. You got to know. Look at your other neighbor and say, you got to know. You've got to know. This is not a hope so, a think so, a maybe so thing. This is a know so. You have to know the faith. And so we're going to get in this next few weeks, this series. And before we do, I just want to kind of just challenge you a little bit and ask you some questions. And the first question is, how do we know things? How do we learn things? Well, one way that we learn stuff is through our senses, right? We got our five senses. We learn from what we see, what we hear, what we smell, things that we taste, touch. Right, we learn through our senses. We learn at a young age, do not touch the stove. It's hot. It's hot. Don't touch the stove, Mom says. Mom says, don't touch the stove. And some of you ornery guys out there and some of you ladies, what did you do? Touch the stove. And what did you learn? It's hot. Should have listened to Mom, right? Now, the learning that we get from our senses, that helps us with our own self-preservation. Right? We get to learn things that help us relate to the world, in the world, and it's more about for us. We also learn stuff through history, through things that have been written in the past. We learn that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, correct? Right? How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States? Some of you don't believe that? What school did you go to? How do you know that? How do we know that? Through a book? What book? A history book? Who wrote the history book? Huh? Some guy? Some person? You don't believe that? You don't believe that? You don't believe? How many of y'all believe the Roman Empire really existed? Anybody believe the Roman Empire? How do you know that? A book? What book? A history book written by who? There's all kinds of history books. Which book? Huh? But we all believe Caesar existed, right? Have y'all believe that there's been different ethnic groups and people groups throughout history? You've seen that. How do you learn about that? By book. You know, how do you know? The scientific world believes in a man that, by the name of Sir Isaac Newton. Can you believe that? Well, how many of y'all believe Sir Isaac Newton lived? He was discovered the law of... How do you know that? Were you there to see it? Huh? Did you witness that? Did you see Isaac Newton? I thought he made figs, fig Newtons. I mean, how do we know this stuff? Through history. Through people that used their senses to see things and they recorded it in historical data, okay? So here's my argument this morning, is that no matter what frame, what world, what kind of a framework you're working on, no matter what type of worldview you have, you live by faith. Scientists live by faith that things that they have learned throughout history is true. Sociologists, that have studied cultures over the time. They're learning historical information that people have written down. They weren't there to experience it. They don't know. And so no matter what field you're in, psychology, philosophy, all of that has a reference point back towards history that was recorded or written down or verbally translated until it was finally written down to have a frame of reference that you go back to. So therefore, everybody's living by faith. And then when we talk about the Bible and we say we believe the Bible, the world goes, what? Jesus? How in the world do you believe in Jesus? It was written in a book. It's not that extreme or crazy to think I believe in the Roman Empire. But it's written in a book, passed down through history. We have the Bible. We live by faith. As Christians, we live by faith. We believe that the historical data that was written down and given to us is true. And so as we look at this fundamental principle that we're all living by faith, my argument as Christians that we must hold this book as high priority and most important of all other books. This Bible, we believe as Christians that it declares from itself, is the very word of God and the very words of God. And so we either are going to believe this and wrap our worldview around it and allow it to dictate how we live and how we think and all that stuff, or we're going to let some other book, some other historical reference do that for us. If you study cultures, you will realize that almost every culture throughout history has believed in a deity or deities. Gods are gods. Why? If everybody has a reference and a thought that there must be a God, the question that we need to ask ourselves, well, is there a God? Is there a God? If there is a God, how does he speak? If there is a God who created the world, then how does he speak? Because there are various religions that say that there is a God who does speak. So Buddhism, they have their thought through the Buddha, and the Buddha has been gained some enlightenment, and not just the one Buddha can bring enlightenment and write down the text of sacred text for them. The Buddhist following him can also add to that, and so you have a series of inspired, what they say is inspired text or writings from an inspired people named Buddha, the Buddha, and those that follow his teachings. You have a man by the name of Muhammad, who believed that there was an angel that directly spoke to him and dictated to him exactly what he was to write. And that book's called the Quran. Heard of that? There's also a religion called Mormonism that they believe that a man by the name of Joseph Smith had an encounter with an angel, and the angel literally dictated to him and gave him the written words on golden tablets. What they believe. So if God speaks and there is a God, who is this God? Which God is it? And which book do we listen to? You got to pick one. You got to decide which God exists, which sacred text is the one that you're going to base your life from. The Bible is unique. It's written over a 1600 years by over 40 different authors, from peasants to kings to prophets to all farmers to all kinds of different people in three different continents that all have one main message: God's redemption of humanity. It's unique. I believe this book to be the very word of God. Now, I could go through and I could give you arguments of why I believe that. There's all kinds. You could spend a whole semester on why this book can be trusted. I'll just throw out some names if you're interested to do some research on your own. There's a guy by the name of Norman Geisler who wrote Christian Apologetics. There's a man by the name of William Lane Craig who wrote Reasonable Faith. Lee Strobel wrote Case for Faith. He was an atheist and in his research became a Christian. There's also a man by the name of Josh McDowell that has a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So A lot of people try to discredit this book, and they've never been able to knock down any credibility of this book. So, I believe, as a Christian, that this is the very Word of God. This is God's Word to us. That is extremely important, because we have a lot of Christians today who don't believe that. And if you are going to grow stronger this year, if you're going to grow stronger in your faith, then this book must become priority in your life, because we believe that God spoke verbally. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us this book makes a claim other texts do not make a claim of itself. It says this: all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It says that all scripture, everything in this is inspired by God. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. So we believe that God spoke. He spoke. He inspired this word. Now, why do we have so many thoughts, philosophies, religions, different things? Well, the Bible gives us an evidence for that, or a reason for that. So as a Christian, I will go ahead and admit that my presupposition, the thing that I bring to the table of this, is that I trust this book. I believe it. So if you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it tells us why that there are some folks who don't believe this book, and why that we have a lot of different ways of thinking and living in our world. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, the conscience that God gives us, and God's also made it evident to them, as we'll see, is the creation of God. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their what? Speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When you move away from a biblical worldview and believe that the Bible is the revelation of God, it leaves you with speculation. As Christians, we don't believe in speculation. We believe in revelation. We believe that God reveals himself to humanity. Philosophies, other religions, other worldviews is man's attempt to speculate on how we can get to God, how life makes meaning, how there's why there are purposes in life. Revelation says God comes to man, letting man know how he has come to them so that they might know him. There's a difference. The world works off of speculation. Christians work off revelation. And so God gives them over to their futile way of thinking. Have you realized that people in America, there's a lot of people who don't believe in God? Am I the only one that's kind of sensed that? Have y'all sensed that there is a hatred towards a Christian worldview today? Do you all sense that Hollywood doesn't have the same biblical worldview that you have? Is anyone other than me kind of picking up on that? Do you all sense that in our political worldviews today that they don't have a biblical Christian worldview? Do y'all sense that some of our sports stars out there in the world, they don't have the same biblical worldview that we have? Y'all picking up on that? Our culture as a whole, they don't view the scripture as being authoritative. Why? Because we hate authority. We don't like to submit to authority. I've used this illustration over and over, and I'll keep using it until everyone's convinced that this is a true illustration. This book, you will have two views of it. Either this book will be here And it will have authority over your life, and you will submit to what it says. And even when you don't understand it, you will stand under it until you understand it. Or you'll put it here, and you will stand above Scripture, and you will put your own meaning into it, and you will dictate to it what you believe and what you don't believe, and how you live and how you think. That's two views. That's the world rejects this. Most people mock at this, but the true child of God who wants to hear his voice and know him holds it here. And you won't ever hear the voice of God if you don't know the Word of God. It's extremely important, church. If you're going to grow stronger, that you base your life on Scripture. Why? Because he speaks. How does he speak to us? Well, he spoke through general revelation, through creation, and he speaks through special revelation from his Word. We know in the Bible that God speaks directly. He gives decrees. In Genesis 1, it says, God said, let there be, and it was, right? He makes decrees. Also, God speaks through personal address. He speaks to people personally. He spoke to Adam, and he said, you are to be in charge of all that I've created you, right? He spoke to Adam. He also spoke to Moses and said, I want you to write these words on a tablet. He speaks through human lips. He spoke. He said, I'm going to put my words in Moses' mouth. In Jeremiah, he said, go and speak. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. He also speaks through the written word. When God was given Moses the Ten Commandments, it says that the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments. But then it also says that God told Moses to write these words in the law. He told Isaiah, God commanded him. It says, go now and write before them on a tablet and inscribe this in a book, that it may be for a time to come as a witness forever. He tells Jeremiah in 30 verse 2, write in a book all the words I've spoken to you. And we believe as Christians that Jesus, when he gathered his disciples together, and he said, I'm about to go away from you, and it's good that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you another helper, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to speak to you all things that he hears, and he's going to glorify me. We believe that happened through the writing of the New Testament. We believe these are the very words of God. And because these are the very words of God, we must trust these words. We must base our life around these words. It's interesting that the first attack of sin and rebellion against God was to doubt his word. Y'all remember that? In the Garden of Eden, Satan said, did God really what? Did God really say? Did he really say? You see, Satan has always tried to get people to doubt the word of God. And if he can get you to doubt this word and say, this is just a book, this like any other book, there's nothing special about this, then he will convince you that there's no need to read it, and there's no need to live by it, and there's no need to follow it. You see the danger? This book's got to be seen as the very word of God. I think, I feel, and I will kill us. I think, I feel, and I will kill us. Well, I think, right? Well, I think. Well, I think. Who cares what you think, right? Who cares what I think? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what I think about it. It matters what God says about it, okay? Well, I feel. We all just like to, you know, a lot, you know, we like so emotional and feeling. Well, I just feel. You know, I read the Bible and Jesus never asked Peter, how you feeling? Not once. How do you feel about that? It doesn't matter how you feel about it. What matters is what's been revealed. What is true. Because your feelings can change. Huh? How many of y'all have felt different about 20 times throughout the day? Oh, right? So don't base your life on feelings and then I will. That I will, I'll do it. I don't care what anybody says. Some of you have even done this. Me included. I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm doing it anyway. That's dangerous, isn't it? It's not about what I think, it's about what he says. It's not about what I feel, it's about what he's revealed. And it's not about my will, but it's about me submitting to his will. You see, Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on the world's philosophies. Don't lean on what our culture says, because our culture doesn't speak the way that God speaks. So don't lean on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 says this, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he what? Trust in you. My prayer as your pastor, for everyone who's a member of this church, this is my goal. I would find myself to be successful if this were to happen. My goal is for every member of this church to so love the Lord so much that they cherish the Word of God, that they are into the Word of God and trusting what it says and making their everyday life decisions based on the Word of God. To the point that when they hear something that is not true, that is false, that is a lie from Satan, that the world is speaking, they'll be like that dog that hears a high-pitched, strange noise. You know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have seen that dog? And it hears that little high-pitched sound and it goes, Its head cocks up, you know, its ear kind of twitches up. And it says, What's going on? My prayer would be that your truth alert radar would kick in, and that when you hear the world whisper its song and its dance, that your head would go, That ain't right. There's something about that ain't right. That doesn't sound like the Bible. That doesn't sound like the Word of God. That's not his voice. You see, Jesus says in John 10, verse 1, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Jesus says there's one way to the Father. The world says, that's not what the world says, right? The world says there's many ways to God. And so when you're talking to someone, you're talking to your friends, you're on college campuses, and you're all being intellectual and highly philosophical, and you begin to debate and talk about these many different methods and ways to find God, you need to go, No, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one way, and he says, anyone who comes any other way is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Now watch this. Verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because why? They know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. My goal for you would be that you know God so well, so personal, that you're praying to him, that you're reading from his word, that you shape your life and the decisions of your life based on the truths of this word. And when the world begins speaking its lies, you go, that's not right. I'm not listening. I'm not basing my decisions and my life on that. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I hear his voice. You'll not hear his voice if you don't read this. You need to pray, worship, celebrate, but you've got to be in the Word of God. You got to know his words to hear his voice. And so I'm going to encourage you, Christian, please, don't just take your Bible and leave it alone all week. Some of you spend way more time on the television than you do the Word of God. Some of us, and I'm guilty of this myself, I can watch a whole game in sports that takes an hour and a half to 2 hours and neglect to read this Word. Anybody here? This has got to be a priority in our life. It's got to shape our life. Because there's a danger if we don't. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Here's the danger of not shaping our life by the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Right? How many of y'all know some educated fools? Professing to be wise, it says they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. They began worshiping man. It's what we worship. We worship our rights. Well, I deserve. It's my right. You want your right? You really want your right and what you deserve? The Bible says we all deserve hell. There's your right. Take that to the throne of God and demand your right. I want His grace. But we worship man. We worship man. We worship sex. It's a billion-dollar industry. We worship man. He says, and they also, in the form of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, therefore, it says, verse 24, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They began worshiping the creation of God and not the Creator, who is God. For this reason, verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. That's what the Bible says. And we've got in the state of Kentucky, in the Supreme Court in June, they're going to be debating the Marriage Act. God's already declared what He believes about marriage. And so, when we hear the world, you're in your beauty shops, and you're in your Walmart, and you're all in your coffee houses, and wherever you go to discuss the world. And you hear someone saying, well, I believe, or I feel. You say, it doesn't matter what you think and what you feel. It matters what the Word of God says. God's already declared what is right and what's not. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. God will not make you serve Him. He will let you have what you want. And that's a scary moment. If you rebel against God and you choose to not to follow His ways and you reject Him, and you reject His word, He'll let you. He'll let you have what you want, and then you'll find out when you get it, you didn't want it. Because it's not good. Now watch. Because sexual immorality isn't the only thing that God calls out. Being filled with all unrighteousness, verse 29, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, that's lying, malice. They are gossips. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrusting, unloving, unmerciful. See, here's one of the problems. Is that people who aren't believers, A lot of times they will hear believers make a stance against a certain worldview or a belief from the Bible. And they'll say, well, see, oh, you just hate people. Y'all just hate people. Y'all just, you know, I know some of your Christian people, and they're some of the most bigoted and hateful, and they gossip and slander all kinds of people. And I'd say, I know some of those too. My question to you would be, who says they're a Christian? Well, they say they're a Christian. Well, you can say it, but if it doesn't change you, you're not a believer. Now listen, the whole letter of 1 John was written for this. He said, a child of God, a Christian, cannot willfully, purposefully live in rebellion to God in a habitual, continual life. Can't happen. If that's what it meant to be saved, if being saved to you meant you came down, prayed a prayer, shook a preacher's hand, got baptized, and then lived however in the heck you wanted to live the rest of your life, you didn't get saved. I don't know what you got. You got a prayer and a handshake and a swim with the preacher. That's all you got. Because the Bible says that we are new creations. Our desires change. Do Christians still sin? Yeah, they do. But a true child of God, when they sin against God, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and they are broken, and they repent, and they get that right. Because see, here's what's happened. You say, well, I know so-and-so, man, and they gossip all the time, and they slander the church, and they talk about other Christians. Yeah, she may not be saved. He may not be saved. So don't base your faith and belief in the Bible and the Word of God on someone who's not living out what that Word says. Because they're not the one that died for you. Jesus did. Let every man be a liar, and let God be true. His words are true. If He says there's a way that we should live, that's the way we should live. If He says there's one way to heaven, that means there's one way to heaven. If He says that sex is between a man who is married to that lady he is married to, I mean, it's crazy. We have him to define that. Appropriate sexual intercourse is between a married man who is married to that woman. Not just between married couples. Because there's a lot of folks that don't even, they'll say, well, I slept with somebody that's married. Yeah, but it wasn't your wife. That don't count. You hear me? That's for real. That's the world we live in. That's our culture. And it's sin. Why? Because the Bible says it is. Well, so what? Well, that's the Word of God. I believe that. Here's the great news, is that God spoke even specifically. He speaks through His Word, but He also spoke through the very Word of God, who Word became flesh, which is Jesus. And He revealed Himself to us through Him. Hebrews 1:1 says this, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days, it says, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Here's the news you need to know. There is a man named Jesus. He's the God-man, and He came to die for your sin. And in Romans, I know I don't have time to go into all this, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, and starting and following, it says something. I'll just paraphrase this. It says that, how are people going to be saved if they don't hear? How will they hear if someone doesn't preach it? And how will they preach it if God doesn't send them? God sends preachers and pastors to preach the Word of God. He says faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ. That's the message of the gospel. That's what that means. Do you realize that when you share the gospel, God speaks? God speaks. He speaks today. You realize he was speaking today, not because I was speaking, but because we cracked open the Word of God, the very bread of life. And we proclaim the words of God, and the Holy Spirit began speaking to your heart. Some of you Christians, he spoke to you and convicted you and said, man, you need to get that out of your life. You've got some faulty thinking. From some of you, the Holy Spirit said, you better start believing this Bible and stop listening to the world. For some of you, the Holy Spirit said, you need to start reading the Bible because you haven't picked it up in for a long time. For some of you, the Spirit of God said, you haven't prayed in forever. For some of you, your life is contradictory to what this Bible says. And he's tapping you on the shoulder right now, and he's saying, if you are a Christian, your life must change today. Here's the neat thing. For those of us who know Jesus, the gospel is a pleasing aroma because it knows, we know it brings salvation. And today, if you don't know Jesus, guess what? Don't do like in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, the Jews seek for a sign. Don't be looking for a sign. Well, God, if you're real, show me this or that. He's spoken. He's real. He says, the Greeks search for wisdom. You don't need another intellectual theory. Education will not save you. That's a lie. Philosophy will not save you. Sociology will not save you. Your culture will not save you. Your opinions and thoughts will not save you. But he says, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save people. You see, the cross is foolishness to people. People who don't believe think Christianity is stupid. Well, that's the most crazy thing I've ever heard of. How can the man dying on a cross save you? Yeah, that's what the Greeks thought. It's what the Romans thought. They killed him. 3 days, he rose again. Philosophical people, people who wrote down history of Rome, people who writes down theories and all this stuff, wrote it in a book, dead, still in the grave. Another historical document, the Bible, well preserved, better than any other ancient document in history. Go check it out if you doubt. Written, inspired by God. Came to earth as man, died on a cross, rose again, he's alive. I'm going with the guy that rose from the dead. I want to be on his team. I'll be on his side. Y'all can go be with all the other dead people. I'm going to be with the one that lives. Because if I'm with the one who lives, it says when I die, I live. How many of y'all want to live forever in the kingdom of God? It comes from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you. We thank you that we can know you. That you didn't leave us in the dark for speculation, that we don't have to speculate on how we can get to you, but that you have revealed to us how you came to us to redeem us and to deliver us and to set us free. So thank you for that. Lord, if there is a man or a woman here today that doesn't know you, and they're speculating, and they're wrapped in a worldview that's not with what you say, I pray, God, that today, this very day, your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and draw them out of that seat and move them to come and say, I need to trust Jesus. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, I ask, God, that your Holy Spirit begin speaking to us and convicting us and saying what areas in our life are not lining up with Scripture. And we get that right today. Lord, let us move. Have your way in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. You need to come, come. Allow God to move, or he speaks today.
To make a wretch his treasure.